Hello, everybody. I'm Chris.
I'm Craig.
I'm Jack.
You fucking dick.
That's him that's the dick, by the way, don't we?
So here we are with the TV movie on popular children's television programme Doctor Who. I'd like to swing straight in here with a little fact.
Let's do it.
The star of this is Sylvester McCoy, you see, but the voiceover is by McGann.
That's right.
So why is that? Because it's like he's recounting what happened.
It is, yeah.
But at no other point is he recounting what happened.
That's true. Yeah.
So Jeffrey, the rest of it, suppose it's sort of contemporaneous. Anyway, Jack, you're a proper fan, apparently.
I'm a proper fan, yeah.
Tell us the background to this, you dick.
Oh, my God. This, well, first of all, it's worth saying that this is the 20th anniversary.
Wow.
So it was broadcast on the second bank holiday in May in the UK.
Yeah.
In the US, it went out early May.
Controversial.
Yeah, it was controversial. So this was the result of a very protracted development process after the series came off air.
Yes.
In 1989, and there was all sorts of shenanigans about who they were going to get to play the Doctor and all that sort of stuff, including Harry Van Dorkum. Exactly, American actor. So there was all sorts of shenanigans that they went through. They had a completely different script to start with, which had things like the Doctor's father and all those sorts of stuff going on, Time Lords and things. So yes, it was an extremely long and drawn out process,
so, and of which the end result was this,
really.
So I'd like to point out that this is Sylvester McCoy's finest performance
as
the Doctor.
Yeah, best hair as well.
Best hair, best outfit.
Yeah,
but also this is slightly controversial, I suppose. I think the TARDIS looks immense.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. And I don't think the TV movie gets anything like the credit it should get for the look of the TARDIS when the series returns.
Yeah, it's beautifully drafted. Mm-hmm. Can I give you an exclusive fact?
Go!
That is germane to this part of the conversation, which is the little lever that you pull to make the time rotor go up and down actually does do that on the set.
There you go.
Boom! Look at that.
True story.
That's a true story.
Yeah, that looks great, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it really looks fantastic. And it gives you a
proper
sense
steampunk.
Of, you know, yeah, yeah.
I had a bit, I had some issues around him listening to that kind of music. I didn't really think that was the sort of music that I would expect.
But look at all that, and the screen, and the font, and all that. It's just lovely.
Yeah.
The screen with the text on it, I'd suggest, is very of the screens in the Ministry of Truth in the in 1984.
Mm-hmm. And also Brazil.
Or as it's actually referred to as Michael Radford's 1984.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's amazing he thought of that story.
He makes a bit of meal over that jelly baby.
Oh, we have jelly babies. Yeah, I didn't realise that.
Ah, shit.
Nice touch.
Yeah, time machine.
Now, the thing is, though,
it does look beautiful and it's beautifully directed.
But is this, is the problem with this, from a proper fan's point of view, Jack?
Let's do this. Let's get right
that
into it.
That it's made for Americans.
Well, I think perhaps the problem is that it's neither made for Americans nor quite for the British audience. It rather falls in between the two.
Yeah.
I think that. Because I think to an American audience, there's a lot in here that's already quite baffling.
Mm.
And it will become more baffling when your lead actor suddenly disappears. One of the, I think probably the most baffling thing about the TV movie in many respects is the fact that they don't do a reveal that the TARDIS is bigger on the inside. We already know. So
what?
Essentially,
no, they,
the TARDIS is bigger on the inside.
No, they do, but not until a bit, not until a good way through it.
Right, but look, we're already in here.
Totally.
Emerge.
But there is a bit, remember,
yes,
where the motorbike goes into it
Absolutely.
And then comes out of it,
yeah.
Which is actually quite nicely handled.
But if you compare that with Rose, there's quite a big build-up to that. And it's one of the key features of Doctor Who, I would have said.
But the thing, but I suppose, I mean, the point of this, though, is that it's almost like it's never been away.
Yeah.
Whereas with Rose and the Return series, the point was it had been away for a long time.
Yeah.
With this, you're sort of meant to pretend that it never went away.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just been away for a wee bit.
Yeah. Supposedly.
This is great.
supposedly,
this is great stuff.
Producer Philip Siegel insisted upon having Sylvester in because he felt that if they didn't have any reference to the previous series...
See, that's a beautiful shot.
Yeah, it's a beautiful shot. Then the press would just see it as a kind of relaunch and could sort of dismiss it.
Right.
Whereas what this is doing is firmly saying this is a continuation. So that's
Craig,
great.
You're with us?
Craig?
Yeah. I feel slightly nervous.
Of what?
Of what?
I've not watched it since it was first on. I've only seen it once.
Yeah?
I'm conscious that you both treat me with contempt when it comes to all things Doctor Who.
Well, he does.
I don't treat anyone.
I'm also worried that there's a lot of Chinese people here and Jack's a racist, so I'm worried that could kick off at any moment. I mean, he just wants them all dead now.
Doogie Revs, that was.
Doogie Revs.
Is this all filmed in San Francisco?
No, it's filmed in Toronto.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, pretty much all of it's filmed in Toronto.
Right. Was it Toronto or was it Vancouver?
No, it's Vancouver.
Yeah, it's Vancouver.
Thank you there.
Which was very big in films of that period. You see these films.
Can I just make a point of who's the proper fan and who's only seen this once?
I know, you know, you do your best, Chris, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. You can only do what you can. Yeah.
I think we'll leave the listener to decide how this has turned out.
Is he still with us?
I think we will.
I think we'll say hello to Frank M, who's one of the few people who constantly listens to us. A constant listener, as Stephen King would maybe call him.
Constant listener. Or John McCarty would call
him. Yes.
Constant listener.
You're correct. It is indeed Vancouver. And he's actually Canadian.
You see it again, you're saying it as though you've got... There's an implication there that he has no right to be.
No, the implication is that everybody else is either American or British.
No, that's not your implication at all. You're a big racist.
Now, this sequence was cut for the British transmission because I thought it was too violent.
Because it was on about 8 o'clock at night, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're right, because I don't remember this.
Yeah. It was on opposite Bramwell, I think. I seem to remember.
Bramwell. Oh, those
God,
were the
that
dishes.
Was shite, wasn't it? Yeah. That was shite.
And it did really well in the UK. It got about 8 million viewers. In the US, it was up against the final episode of Roseanne.
Now, tell me.
The last series of Roseanne is shit.
It was. Tell me, though.
That's nice.
I like that.
Beautiful shot.
Materialising around them.
Case box is absolutely gorgeous. Go on, sorry.
Is it not considered to be pish, this?
No, not particularly.
See, I remember people at the time saying that they basically tried to turn it into a Terminator film.
This is great.
No. We better not miss this.
Oh, that's just such a great shot.
It's a beautiful shot.
Sad as well.
Yeah, but it genuinely was the last thing I expected watching that.
No, really? I think...
Yeah, I didn't expect...
But you must have realised he was going to regenerate since Paul McGann was the Doctor.
I didn't expect that to happen, because it kind of... I wonder if it's almost like a thing for dads.
Yeah.
Smart-ass dads at the time would say, you know, I watch Doctor Who. Yeah. And then come back, because why would you not just shoot him? Yeah. Why is he on his scrapes? Why would you not just shoot him? Oh, yeah, I see. Twats.
I think
that you boys took the same haircut as him.
That's
a very 90s hairdo.
The predominant reason why fans, particularly at the time, didn't think this was shit is because...
Why is there spunk coming out of the TARDIS?
Stop it. Anyway, the reason is because it doesn't look shit.
And yeah.
If you think about the most recent experience of Doctor Who prior to that, it looks a bit shit.
It does look
and this,
so the Doctor Who fans, proper ones like you, do you like this?
The TV movie, yeah, I'd say so. Mm. Yeah, I think probably not unreservedly. Have issues with the ending of it, and in a typical sort of self-loathing Doctor Who fan type way, a lot of the criticism that fans have about this is that there's too many references.
Well, the other thing is, it doesn't have to be self-loathing because we all loathe them as well. But things like that morph effect and all that is really is very very sort of mid-90s. Yeah. Imagine that. Look, that's amazing. Yeah, that's right. So he's just the ambulance man who gets smunked on. December 30th, 1999. Oh my God, it's so far in the future.
No,
is there a reference there?
Nah, Jay Smith.
John Smith.
There you go.
Timing.
So they and again, it was the producer, Philip Siegel, had to fight quite a lot with Joe Wright, who was the BBC exec on this, to have all these continuity references, because the BBC was going through a period of intense loathing of Doctor Who at this point, and they felt that anything that referenced back to the particularly the Sylvester McCoy era, should be completely excised.
Yeah, because
they wanted to have eight in this.
Yeah, well, I like this. Like, why would you? I mean, because you know, honestly, why would you want to do anything other than criticise and cause problems for somebody resurrecting a product that's made a huge amount of money for you? That's so out of character. Yeah, it's
not like the BBC. The Master as a Snake, I think, is a bit weird. And also, I've never felt very easy about seeing the Doctor's bed. Also, I'm just not happy about that. Craig,
has that not happened quite a lot since he came back?
Yeah, it's happened a few times. Yeah, it had happened before this as well.
You have to be careful because John Barnum would just jump on him.
I think Tom Baker had his nits out.
He was responsible for that stuff coming out of the TARDIS. This looks a bit like the end
Tonight's
of Twilight. See, that doesn't
be
look good.
A good night. Oh no, it's a double explosion.
What's going on?
And it's very hard to, again, as a proper Doctor Who fan, it's very hard to be able to work out how much of this does make sense to the new viewer.
Now, isn't there some shite about him being half human?
Well, that count comes out at the end. We'll deal with that when it happens.
Well, you've already had an argument about
that. That's the big MacGuffin at the end.
Right,
people
see.
Do get upset about
that. That's the big thing, because it is stupid.
Yeah.
Now, Chris...
So it all comes a bit romantic as it gets towards the end, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does a little bit. Chris, what do you remember about when you first heard about this?
What do
I... How did you hear? Do you remember... What was the first thing you knew about the TV movie?
I... You know? Yeah. It was a big double-page splash in the Daily Record.
Uh-huh.
With pictures of McGann in his... What is it? Wyatt Earp outfit or something?
Those photos or not?
No, it wasn't those photos.
Yeah, that doesn't work for people listening.
I'm just about to explain that, thank you.
No, it wasn't those photos.
So this is the Doctor's Generation book by Philip Siegel.
Uh-huh.
And this photo here, so this is a photograph of Paul McGann at the long-linked Doctor exhibition.
No,
yeah, Crystal from Metabolist 3, not Metabolist 3.
Oh, yes, of course, yeah.
With short hair. So that was the first publicity photo that I ever saw of your man.
Because he doesn't have short hair in the film.
He has a wee wiggy on.
Now, you keep talking about Philip Siegel. Who's he then?
Who's he then?
So, Philip Siegel was an American producer. I think he's actually a Brit.
Is he related to George?
George Siegel.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, well, if he's not, I don't want to know.
Let's just
what's
say
going on here?
Well, she's a surgeon.
Yeah, she's just come from the
she's
opera.
She's just arrived and they had the nice slow motion shot there of her
Puccini.
Running. With the Puccini. Oh, it was so sad.
Yeah. I was just looking at something else.
Yeah, okay.
So you saw the news in the Daily Record?
Yeah, there was like a big double page spread.
That'd be the first.
I was like, hey. Yeah. Well, just news.
And can you remember what your reaction was?
Yeah, I can't say I was like massively excited. I mean, I was looking forward to seeing it and all that, but I didn't think of it as... Well, there's two things that I probably should have thought of that I didn't. One was, I didn't think, this is going, this is amazing.
Yeah.
I just didn't think that.
Yeah.
The second was, I didn't think, it's back!
No.
Because it didn't occur to me that it would come back.
No, it had a great strap line when they were promoting it. Do you remember?
It's back.
It's back and it's about time.
Oh, that's right.
That's
great.
Craig, do you remember when you first heard the news?
Not really. No, I remember it being on. Do we want to get to that yet?
Yeah.
I remember watching it,
yeah.
I don't remember. I remember, you know, hearing that it was coming back. Uh-huh. I watched... And I think it was probably covered by the hospital radio station when I was working in the shop in a hospital in the Forth Valley in the 1960s. And so it was probably kicking about as news. I watched it with my then flatmates, Mark and Stuart, at a house in Edinburgh. And I think I probably liked it. Mark is a big Doctor Who fan. You probably wouldn't regard him as a real one. But I think he is. I think I probably liked it more than he did.
Right.
Yeah.
Which probably means he's a proper Doctor Who fan.
Yeah, could be. Generally speaking, if you like it more than the other person did, they are the proper Doctor Who fan.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's kind of...
Because Doctor Who fans don't actually like any Doctor Who episodes, really.
Any fan of anything, if they're a serious enough fan, doesn't actually really like it. That's part of the...
There's another thing to note here.
Why are so many people interested in this? This looks like the stuff from the Fly 2.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's a great film.
Yeah, it's a good film, huh?
No, the thing that I think is...
Well, why are they all watching, sorry?
Well, it's just one of those things where people observe surgery, isn't it? And people have said it's quite an interesting case.
I think those are the... I think those people have contributed money.
Yeah, money to the hospital.
Yeah.
So they get to watch people being cut out.
It's America.
Fucking weird country, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I was about to say, I think it's one of the... it might even be one of the first instances of things being set at the millennium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although it's not.
Except for the Prince
millennium.
Song, that was out first.
Yeah. But...
I assume that was 98 going into 99, that song. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, I just thought we did.
No, it's set in 1984, but they want to party like it's
1999.
He's basically setting a very high bar
but
for the party.
It could be, I'm presuming that it could just be a particularly good party at some point in 1999.
Yeah.
It doesn't say, tonight we're going to party like
it's
millennium
age.
That's true, yeah. I suspect it was quite a good year for
and
Prince.
Now, Will can never ask.
I'm like, no,
we'll never know.
No.
We'll never know now. We taught him Prince.
So annoying he never Prince. Took the time to ask when he was
these
alive.
These are the questions I could ask.
And I'm going to Minneapolis in a few months' time. I could have asked
you
him.
You could
then.
Have asked him.
Could have easily asked him.
Poor old Prince, eh? Described as a singing musician.
Time
and
of
more
death.
Recently as a dead man.
Time of death. The minute Michael Grade was appointed to the Beatles. Thank you very much.
Yes. Why is she raging?
Because she's lost her patient. Because she cares, Craig.
It's America. She's got some
she
donuts.
Cares.
Hello. I mean, what is the director doing here? There's an awful lot of breasts in this show.
Yeah.
Is this a problem for you?
No, not at all. Of course not.
So prior to the news of the TV movie, there was all sorts of stuff going around for years of various attempts to create Doctor Who movies. Amblin Entertainment,
but there was
Coast
one,
to Coast, we're going to do it.
But then there was one that came very close to fruition, wasn't it? Called like
The Dark Dimension.
The Dark Dimension,
yeah,
yeah.
That was for the 30th anniversary,
yeah.
Which was going to be written by a guy called Adrian Wrigglesford, who's a Doctor Who fan.
Now, the 30th anniversary one was going to start. What?
I just don't give a fuck about the level of detail you're going into.
You say that like it's meant to matter to us.
Yeah. Oh, you normally say it.
So the 30th anniversary, though, was meant to star, I think I'm right in saying,
go on.
Pete Postlethwaite.
I think
but
he,
then,
yeah, he
but then
it
took too long to pull together, and he left to go and make In the Name of the Father.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. And David Bowie was meant to be in it.
David Bowie.
He's going to be another dead man.
Well, yeah. They're all dead.
Another dead man.
It's a fucking litany of the dead.
Yeah, it's the jinx of Doctor Who. Yeah, so that was apparently within about 2 or 3 weeks getting commissioned into the Dark Dimension. And then they, in fact, Tom Baker ended up getting paid for it, even though he didn't have to do anything.
Surely somebody like Tom Baker would just hand the money back.
Yeah. Not that he would.
I live in a very large farm.
Really?
With a golden Labrador called Ernst.
Apparently, Father Lionel Fanthorpe was meant to possibly be
and
in
what
the
would, and what
movie.
Would he say if he was?
I'm Father Lionel Fanthorpe. Welcome to Fortune Tevye. Okay. He's versatile performer, isn't he?
He's gets
it's
around.
Lovely, it's lovely how you get him in like that.
Yeah.
Oh.
So Coast to Coast was a production team who were going to make it. Jerry Davis, who was co-creator of The Cybermen, almost got the rights to make Doctor Who. Terry Nation almost got the rights. Cinema Verity Lambert.
But it's already Terry Nation's Doctor Who.
Yeah, it's Terry Nation's Doctor Who.
We just live in it.
So Verity Lambert wanted to make it as well. It's Terry Nation.
State of the Nation's Doctor Who. Oh, it's Corbyn's Britain.
It is.
So when I watched this actually prior to the TV broadcast, I don't know if you remember, they released it on VHS. Actually, before
no, I didn't
it was.
That.
Yeah, because supposedly they were going to release it on VHS at around about the same time as it was on American telly, which was the beginning of May.
Right.
And then they fucked that up. So in actual fact, they only released it about a few days before the BBC transmission. That's a nice shot.
That
it?
Was quite
a nice fucking steal. Look at that athlete's foot.
I know.
Dear, oh dear.
Which athletes? The that was quite a nice wee effect, the master sneaky thing.
Yeah.
Dang.
This cunt on the left, the big guy, is clearly meant to be the comedy relief in all of this. And he does that really incredibly annoying American thing, although he's probably Canadian, where later on he shouts really loud and hard at party.
Oh, yeah.
He may even shout party on.
Does he use party as a verb?
As a verb.
Oh,
bad.
No.
Breaking the black book rule.
Absolutely.
There he goes, he's just done it. Party on.
Oh, there he is. See, I was right.
Yeah,
and he's balls.
Wanker.
So anyway, I
remember... Raffle copters.
I remember going to...
Raffle copter gunships.
I remember going to HMV on Buchanan Street.
Oh, HMV.
Purchasing my HMV.
I swear. Who used to buy the records there?
What?
Before.
Line of fans. Going down
to HMV. Welcome to HMV. Is that what he does now?
Yeah, apparently.
So I bought it on VHS, went back to our flat in Byers Road, and invited some
I wasn't in a flat with Ian Byers Road. What are you talking about?
Were you not?
No, it's Father Lionel Fanfield.
That's not the first time
Eric Roberts.
I can imagine.
And my friend Dave came round to watch it with us, and he brought another person who I didn't really know very well, and I was very annoyed because then I felt we couldn't have a proper unadulterated chat about Doctor Who afterwards.
But he's popular.
So he brought someone along who you didn't welcome to the party, who therefore stopped you from talking about the things you like talking about.
Hard to believe.
Yeah,
imagine somebody doing something like
that.
That'd
be awful, that would.
Now, I remember at the time the part of the publicity bump involving
I hate this man,
an interview saying, you know, with an interview with Eric Roberts, because he wasn't exactly a star, but he'd been around for a while.
Still isn't now.
Well, he's still, you know, but I mean, he's actually grown into that quite interesting older actor now, because he's great in like The Dark Knight and all that.
He's good in The Dark Knight, yeah. He's also in one of the Expendables films.
Yeah, but he had sort of got somewhere and then fallen away again, whatever, and they said, "Oh, but you're American. How do you know Doctor Who?" And he said that he was in like drama school in the 70s and early 80s, and they knew, you know, they always used to watch it, and which is actually quite pleasing, they were all desperate for parts in it because it was quite easy to get an extra part.
He did it across here. He did drama school across here.
Yeah, no, it wasn't rad. Oh, there you go. Guys, Phil Tiz was. It wasn't like RADA. I think it was like the London School of Dramatic Art or something. Lambda. A ladder.
Lamprey.
That's quite an unheroic for generation, I think.
Explain.
Are they usually heroic?
Yeah, I think so. Although it gets more heroic when he actually gets up and...
Do you mean he normally sacrifices himself?
Well, it's just, it's quite gurney, the face, you know, from...
Oh, that's just because they couldn't afford anything else.
Hello.
That's nice, though.
That must have cost a few quid.
The cutting in with the Bride of Frankenstein, or Frankenstein, whichever it is really nice, actually.
It must have
cost
a wee bit, that. Getting that.
Yeah.
But it's nice, though. I think it's directed really well.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, so who's the guy? Jeffrey Sachs.
Jeffrey Sachs.
Who's he?
He's a British guy.
Is he?
Yeah. I don't know a great deal about what
it is. A very
done,
British name, though, you mentioned it.
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a lot of Brits who worked on this.
That guy, he is a dick, this guy.
They actually spoke to Terence Dix about writing the script for this.
Really?
So he's sort of dull boy. Yeah. A little bit busy.
I said to Barry.
Well, you spoke to Michael Caine.
Now, I know nothing about the credits for this, but I guarantee you Eric Sabre did nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
do you know why?
Why?
There's no Cybermen in it.
Absolutely. Superhuman strength?
Yeah, that doesn't make very much sense.
No, there it goes.
Cue comedy wig. Faint.
Yeah. Oh my God. There it is. Shitty wig. And
go on, son.
Show me a cock.
Hey, slightly cross-eyed. Boom.
Bong. Now you should have had his feet going up there into the shot.
Has that ever been funny?
It always makes me laugh.
Does it?
Yeah, especially if the person hurts themselves.
The comedy fame.
Hopefully, he banged the back of his head.
Yeah.
And it's bleeding.
Because that'd kill you if you did that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I'm the Frankenstein.
Bill Pratt, yeah.
This looks to me like a reference to the corridor shot from Night of the Demon, when it all wobbles and goes weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think that's
see that's,
never
what, that's what Christopher fucking Nolan stole from him?
Yeah,
he just nicked that from
and Len Kabaczynski.
Dear old Len.
So these are very nice heroic shots.
I think they're great. I think the direction of it's really
heroic.
Nice.
Why do you keep calling it heroic? This
because
seems like the wrong adjective.
But no, I don't think it is, because this is the point where you're trying to define your lead character in this thing. Because now he's here, it's Paul McGann, and he's a doctor.
He'd be grateful, because if it's not that, he'd be talking about the lack of jeopardy.
No, there's
well, that's true. But why is it heroic? I don't understand. Heroic shots, what do you mean?
Well, they're casting him as a hero, aren't they? Hence, the description.
Well, the resurrection.
Just happened to that
Well, it's just an abandoned bit in the hospital.
Yeah.
Well, that's ridiculous.
That's what the Royal looks like now. And it's open.
So what did we think of Pomegan then as a doctor?
Arrow Hospital doesn't look like that.
No, it's true, no.
Like him?
No, it's not that busy.
No.
I like McGann. I liked him particularly in Night of the Doctor, which was excellent.
He's good.
Yeah, I always feel rather sad that he didn't do more. I believe he's done an awful lot in audiobooks and all that sort of stuff. It's been an ongoing thing, but
not
I would like to have seen him in this.
Not proper Doctor Who.
Now, does
this
he
is
not,
where he gets
this
the
is Who Am I? Now,
yeah,
is
but
that,
he
that's
does this weird
who, the Doctor, is it?
No.
And then he goes, aye. Yeah. But it's explained a wee bit later. It's because of the anaesthetic and all that's fucked up his regeneration. But I quite like the fact that they've gone back with the Capaldi. It's also not the first thing.
There's a lot of dripping coming in.
I also like the fact that with the Capaldi regeneration, they've kind of did away with that big, you know, the flashing lights and all that thing. Because that was getting a bit tiresome.
It was, yeah.
I don't like the fact that it was becoming a sort of generic regeneration.
Yeah.
You know, like they were all dead at the same way. Yeah. I didn't like that.
Of course, your favourite regeneration is, I don't want to go.
Oh, God. The answer that we gave at the time, Neloc.
Neloc, yeah. Well, I remember watching that, and I'm not, you know, as you know, by any means a proper Doctor Who fan.
Not quite.
But I remember watching that and thinking, but you're not going anywhere.
Mm.
You'll still be the Doctor. Yeah. That's you talking.
Tom Baker Scarf.
Oh, nice. It's not really, though, is it?
No, it's not. Powerful enough. No, you're right. That's a very, very good point.
Mm.
I just, at the time, I just thought, like, Christ, thought that.
Get fucked.
Because then you could stop doing...
And doing his really annoying voice.
So Night of the Doctor.
Oh, you are beautiful.
Night of the Doctor was
just
exciting,
wasn't it?
Kill
the monsters.
How did you first hear about Night of the Doctor?
In what sense?
Oh, I don't know. On the internet, probably.
I got a text from my brother saying, "Oh my God, Pomegan is back," and I was like, "Okay, well, that's just my
mate." I think it was probably my mate Alan, who is a proper fan, had said. There's the, you know, he was keeping me up to date and all the stuff in the run up and said, oh, you'll need to watch this year, there's a big surprise.
Well, he turned up in the wee 3 minute one or something.
That's what we're talking about, that's Night of the Doctor.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
Yeah, so I had that blown for me. So what? I got my missus to, watch it.
Your missus?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My good lady wife.
Yeah,
the good lady Mrs. Jack.
Yeah, that'd be.
Thanks for coming.
Feminist artist,
yeah.
That becomes a callback.
Thanks for coming, but you just ignored me.
Yeah, I always listen.
Fair enough.
I got her to watch it, so she had the full surprise. But
she's not very good, is she? That was a very unconvincing waking up there.
Well, this is actually when it becomes...
He's quite funny here.
You know why it becomes a bit different from the old series. You see why I said.
Is it ungallant of me to saying that she's not your normal sort of young cheesecake. She's actually a bit older.
Well, but she's meant to be an ambulanceman's wife.
Yeah.
But I thought she was the doctor.
No.
Is that a different woman?
Yeah, it's his missus.
Yeah.
I'm confused. She looks a bit like the doctor.
I'm confused. So is the TARDIS.
Oh, yeah!
See?
That's not right. Does that mean he's Catholic?
Yeah, and then look, and he kills her.
Yeah, he does that. Boom.
Thud.
That's when you know it's different from the old series.
Yeah.
Because Ainley wouldn't have done that.
Ainley?
Ainley wouldn't have done that, and he wouldn't have been at that patron to begin with.
No,
he would
not.
I maybe she did.
I maybe she did. There we go.
He becomes. That's the lady.
I got that totally.
He is once again becoming annoying in this scene when he does this, when he shouts, shut up, you dick.
So, Pomegan, good casting choice.
Better than this guy.
Better than. This gentleman here, who I'm showing you a photograph of, who auditioned.
Oh, for fuck's
sake.
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Tony Slattery.
Fuck, man.
Sony Twattery.
Sony Twattery,
He's a dreadful man.
He really is.
Not a great actor.
He's another one of these guys who simply by having gone to a particular university at a particular time has managed to have a 30-year career of being an utter fud.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a terrible man.
Mel Smith
there. And you know that if he'd been cast, he'd have had to start a scene with dicking around going, "Oh, I've never done it. Oh, come to a Gallifreyan party before."
Yeah, no, exactly. And then he just got bit smutty very quickly.
Did you two like
Tony Slattery?
No.
That's correct. We didn't.
He's gay. I only found that out recently.
Who?
Really?
Tony Slattery. No, did any of you actually, did you ever like Whose Line Is It Anyway? I always hated it.
I did like it at the outset.
Yeah.
But it used to, but remember in the first couple of series, Or might even just have been the first series, was when Johnny Sessions was in it.
I love Johnny Sessions.
He was the fixed point, and he was great. And you always looked forward to when he could do it, especially if he did something in his Noel Coward voice.
Absolutely, no, I love Johnny Sessions.
Quite acting is, and
I liked it. I liked it when.
John Sessions. Johnny Sessions. Fat face there.
John Sessions auditioned.
We were watching him.
We were watching the Master of
Dundreek, which is in Laugh I Nearly Played My License for You. It's a sort of Robert the Stevenson.
It's really
parody. It's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Robbie Coltrane.
But deny the evidence, destroy the evidence.
It's a very 90s but suit, isn't it?
I liked as well in whose line is it? It was like sometimes Peter Cook was on it once. Fish out of water, but it was very funny.
Yeah.
But then it started to go wrong when
Josie Lawrence got two
fucking Josie Lawrence, which meant that every single one became a song, song. Really fucking
annoying. And she always relied, her gag was always to do a thing which would then rhyme with the word that she'd been given.
Yeah.
Which is always really boring.
She also, did you ever see her own programme?
Yes.
It was terrible. It was almost as bad as Thompson.
Oh. Now, here's the thing, Johnny Sessions, when very few people remember this, mm-hmm. for perfectly good, legitimate reasons, he got poached off of, whose line is it anyway, to go to BBC Two to do an improv series.
He did, didn't he?
Tall Tales.
Which was in a theatre.
Yes, you're right.
And people just shouted things there to do it, and it never worked.
It was terrible, wasn't it?
Yeah, because, unlike whose line is
it
anyway,
it
you couldn't
you
bounce
remember?
Off other people.
I think it was John Sessions' Tall Tales.
No, it was. It was just called some like John Sessions or
if only someone would do reverse FAQs.
That seems to have gone by the by.
Thing of the past.
I loved reverse FAQs.
Thing of the past, because you only had to fucking read them.
But that was the imperial phase of the commentaries, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was before we just sat and listened to lectures about Doctor Who.
That was when they were good. Liam Cunningham also auditioned.
Mm-hmm. I like him. Big
Liam. I think Sir Davos.
Sir Davos.
With a few exceptions, they had reasonably decent.
Who's that man?
Tony Satchel Turbo. So this is Mark McGann.
Another one.
He looks a bit fucking rough, doesn't he?
He does. Paul's mother. She does look rough.
Yeah.
Actually, do you know what? That's, he could actually pass for his mum.
Yep, just a wee.
Wee Mary McGann there. Would be good.
So they do introduce. They try to introduce a new trope for the Doctor in this TV movie. Mm-hmm.
Yes, go on.
Who's that man?
We'll come back to these in a minute.
Which is that. He can tell people's future by looking at them.
That's right,
He can see their timeline going forward.
Yeah.
Which never really made very much sense.
No. But less controversial than the half-human.
Yeah, so, this is nasty, actually.
Rob Hayland, do we remember One by One?
Oh, Christ.
It was the thing about Zeus. Yeah, it was rotten. Yeah.
It was one of those things that would kill a Saturday Night Dead.
Yeah, I think he'd have been quite good, Rob Hayland.
Yeah. Who's that? The guy that was in Watching.
Yes, Paul
Bettany.
He's
a fanny as well.
I loved Watching.
So they all auditioned.
I don't remember ever laughing at it.
The question must be, what does he
say to me?
That was beautiful, actually. None of this is rehearsed, people. None of this is rehearsed.
Apart from that bit.
However, Watching is a perfect example of
not Watching.
A sitcom.
See, Terminator.
Where everybody is better than the actual principal characters. Do you remember, I'm not a big fan of her, but she was good in that, which was that fucking annoying wee woman who was the star of it.
Emma Ray.
And her sister was Lisa Turbot.
That's right,
who had a hippie boyfriend, not a hippie, a yuppie boyfriend, who I can't remember who he was playing, but he was very generic at the time.
He was,
And then there was also the mother, Malcolm's mother, who was lived in the Wirral and was quite posh, was that quite big woman who was the actress?
Can I just say you don't get this kind of chat on the official Doctor Who podcast?
You're right.
You don't get Emma Ray.
It's mildly, and I only say mildly interested. Mm.
And I remember the son used to love. For whatever reason, the son used to love watching the Easter run. So many like stories about how amusing Watching is.
What?
The Sun, the newspaper, always used to have stories.
Do you think
about
that was? Do you think? I know this sounds like a sick question, but I mean it sincerely. Do you think that was post Hillsborough?
Yeah, I wonder.
Do you think he was trying? They were trying to ingratiate themselves.
Yeah, they could well have been.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah,
that's nice. Who's that woman's
from? This is like 90-odd people died. It was their own fucking fault. Hey, tell you what, it's funny though. Watching.
Yeah, quite funny.
Balances that one out.
They're quite funny, those Scousers, though.
Aye. They do it all, don't they all?
Yeah.
I have a friend who once got into an argument with someone online. Amazing.
Hard to believe.
In which he kind of... It appears
was his
that the
friend's
other...
name Craig?
No. Okay. It was another chap called...
Craig.
Paul.
Called Ray.
And he had an argument with someone who... and the other, he thought the other person was being a bit racist about something. And when he subsequently was in the other person's company, the other person went to great lengths to show him his black music collection and all the blaxploitation films that he had. And it was never mentioned, but it was a clear attempt to lay to rest the idea that he was a racist.
Hey, look at all that bit.
No, it's not that, Paul. Paul.
I remember him before. Oh, I was so sad. See, yeah, you can't actually be everywhere.
No.
But that's not unique to this.
No,
that's been used elsewhere.
Yes.
Specifically overtly rather in City of Death.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
This is not a fake.
Yes.
Great choice. Where was McGann in his career at this point? Because I'll put it to you that. It was about 10 years after his first flush of fame,
that Monocle Mutiny,
which was a Monocle Mutineer and Withnall and I, which of course wasn't a hit when it came out.
No,
it subsequently became
a
hit.
Yeah.
But the Monocle Mutineer made him quite famous,
notorious, famous and infamous.
Yeah,
and who wrote the Monocle Mutineer?
That would be Mr. Alan Bleasdale.
Oh, that's interesting.
We should park that and come back to it.
Maybe in a couple of weeks.
He had his one sort of...
call forward.
Well, we've got a call back coming as well, which is that his other sort of brush with fame was his role in Alien 3.
Yes, that's
which
right.
In the non-director's cut is much bigger than the actual version that we reviewed.
Yeah, with the dragon
before.
And all that.
Well, as I understand...
But he's very good in it, actually.
He's a good actor.
This time, he failed to get the role of Sharp. He was...
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I think it's Sean Bean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Sharp.
That's true. So he was in this
thing. I like Sheen Bean.
The Hanging Girl. Wasn't that the thing where
yes.
they were all in that?
Yeah. All the McGanns were in it, yeah.
So he was sort of
was
at that point.
A surfeit of McGanns.
Yeah, I never really liked The Hanging Girl because I thought it was going to be like the Irish RM. Which is fucking great.
Yeah.
Peter Bowles is a real man.
Same thing happened to me with The Wind That Shakes the Barley.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I thought it was going to be a great laugh.
Didn't the McGanns, were they not all in a musical set together as well?
Were they in Blood Brothers or something like that?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Not written by Alan Bleasdale.
No.
Written by the other one.
Willie Russell's.
That's him.
Yeah. The other bearded Scouse guy.
Willie Hairdresser.
Willie Hairdresser.
So
here we are.
There's bigger on the outside.
Yeah, which they've kind of already
Why is
there
a British Grenadier Guardsman behind it?
Well, because it's a like an advert poster.
Visit London. Advert poster.
Just interesting. Did they get funding from the Tourist Board for that?
I think it's just supposed to tie in. At the time, of course, the far more famous McGann
was Joe
McGann.
Joe Upper Hands McGann.
McGann. Yeah. Anybody ever actually watch a whole episode of The Upper
Terrible,
Hands?
Terrible, isn't it?
And interestingly, he was in that with that woman, Diana, what's her name? That was in
Quick.
It. No, the actress in it.
The actress that was in it.
I can't remember her surname, but she used to be the long-term partner of Robert Lindsay.
Wow.
We should find something that involves
Robert
Lindsay and Alan Bleasdale at some point.
Yeah. I think if we could do that, then
with
it's
an anniversary coming up,
did they come together?
This is the 20th anniversary of this.
If there was maybe something that was maybe like the 25th
anniversary,
let's try and make it work.
Let's stick all that into Ask Jeeves.
Meanwhile, it's the 30th anniversary this week of the release of Peter Gabriel's solo album.
Oh yeah.
So
I wanna be. Ooh, a sledgehammer.
Is that the Tina Turner cover of it?
It's Jimmy Savile.
Wow.
Tina Savile.
Wow.
I wanna be a sledgehammer. Here's show what to do.
One of these days. We'll stop making
Savile. We nearly did.
Just
so
we think we're
out, man.
He pulls us back in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't.
So I remember thinking at the time Paul McGann was good casting because it wasn't like a stunt name.
You said that.
Because they had various other names that were mentioned. David Hasselhoff was in there.
No, he wasn't.
According to the Sun.
Yeah.
Eric Idle, his name is touted a lot.
That would have been
absolutely horrendous. But the thing about McGann was he wasn't too famous, but he was a sort of decent actor.
Yeah, no, totally. He looks good in it as well. He's a very, very, very common looking fellow.
His wig's a bit wiggy.
It's a wiggy wig, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Chris and I happened to see the other night Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
On Blu-ray on a friend's big screen projector.
It doesn't hold up well, does it?
Oh, it's great. I love
it. Oh, no, it's
it.
A great film, but Blu-ray doesn't do it.
No, it doesn't, because everything looks cheap and horrendous.
Yeah. Really tacky.
And the guy that plays the sort of antagonist, the one other one in the love triangle, that
the
is
one that looks like he's out of 90210 all the time.
His wig is extraordinary.
It is like Frankie.
You can practically see the staples.
Yeah. It is amazing. You can even see. In some shots, you can even see the bit where they've coloured in.
Wow.
When it joins. It's amazing.
What would be particularly good with that, if you could watch it in the... I don't know if it works on a projector, but it's a thing you often get if you go into a hotel and they've got a big widescreen telly, and it's what's called the soap opera effect.
Right.
Which is that basically these smart TVs now, they fill in frames.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So they actually upgrade everything to 50 FPS as opposed to 25.
Right.
So you actually have to go and find the settings and put it onto cinema so you get the grainy film. Look, that's
It's
shot on 35mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if it's in the 50 FPS setting,
right,
everything looks cheap as fuck.
Yeah,
I mean, everything looks like foam.
Yep.
And it looks like a TV soap opera.
Oh, look, he's wacky after all.
This is that's the pivotal moment for Doctor Who fans. That's where he becomes a Doctor.
Yeah, he becomes a Doctor.
That line about the shoes.
Yeah.
I've been to Sausalito.
Have you?
I have, yeah.
I think you mentioned that in the previous conversation.
I think we have, yeah, but I don't remember what it was.
I think it must have been 2012 or something. It was whenever they showed San Francisco or something.
Yeah, it's a nice place, Sausalito. I had a good time, so I thought I'd mention it again.
Good.
So what do we think of Eric Roberts then?
I think he's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's perfectly serviceable as a
rather
master.
A departure from
is he the master?
What do you mean? As in, do we accept him?
Yeah.
I'd say not.
Would you rate him better
or
worse?
Let's do this.
Oh, no,
Johnson.
Oh, fucking
better.
Much better.
Yeah, better than
would
Jesus
you rate
Christ.
Him better or worse?
I tell you this.
Than Derek Jacobi.
Oh, he's not as good.
He's not as good as Jacobi.
Would you rate Jacobi him better or worse?
Let's go. Let's do
than
this.
Missy.
He's not as good.
He's
as
not as good as Missy.
Would you rate him better or worse
than Tip X Fatigue?
Than Roger Goldaddle.
Goldaddle.
Yeah.
Roger Goldaddle. No, he's not as good as Roger.
Would you rate him better or worse?
Anthony. I tell you this.
Yeah, he's not as good as Anthony Ainley.
No.
Anthony Ainley is a better master than Philip Sim was. But Anthony,
Johnson.
But it's similar. Sorry, yeah. But Anthony Ainley's better than Sim. Like Anthony Ainley now.
Yeah.
That's true.
So basically, we've got him rated
and Sim
second,
is a
second to last,
second bottom. Yeah.
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 Yeah. I've heard this about John Sim.
Not good.
From people who
is
have
he better than? Is he not better than Beaver and Tippex for Teeth?
No. Oh, who? Eric Roberts?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's
so
very
who's
hard.
Beaver and Tippex for Teeth? Is that in the...
like a Deadly Assassin.
Deadly Assassin, and, yeah.
But they're barely playing the master in a way,
no.
Now, aren't they? They're kind of playing a monster.
A sort of
Peter
faceless
Pratt
monster.
Peter Pratt, Deadly Assassin. Yeah.
This is a lovely... The
it's going to a Madonna video.
Yeah, it's very nice.
But it's lovely, you know.
The other thing about the TV movie at the time is... You kind of had to try very hard to like it, because if you didn't like it, that's kind of you fucked. Because you
done,
haven't had any Doctor Who in 7 years.
You're done, yeah.
Then this
I think
along.
I cut out a break because
now,
of that.
Now, canon problem here.
Yeah,
the Eye of Harmony.
Problem. What's it doing there?
That doesn't work.
What is that about, Craig? Why is it there?
Why is that there?
What's happened
you
there?
You need to explain to us.
What's happened there?
You know damn well that I have no fucking handle in all this type
quite
of
right.
stuff.
Quite right. And neither did they.
And neither did
what's
they.
Said? Yeah. What's
I'd just
said,
like
Craig?
To point out, and this is me as not a proper fan, the Eye of Harmony... There's a trap back hole on Gallifrey that is the source of power for all of Gallifrey and the TARDISes. And power is transferred to TARDISes by something called the Rathalon and Premature.
That's actually quite impressive.
That's impressive.
Now,
yeah, that's
the
good.
Point is, it's not on the fucking TARDIS.
No.
But it actually, nowadays, it kind of is.
Explain.
Because there's a couple of episodes, like Journey to the Centre of the TARDIS, where they've sort of suggested that... That there's a collapsing,
that's
you know, a
true.
Sun goes up in the TARDIS.
Said that. Yeah, they have said that.
The because notion... I always like to think that it was a. I'm crediting RTD with far too much here, but when they said that Gallifrey was destroyed, the fact that the TARDIS was still running, I thought, oh, that's quite a sly reference because it can't be because the Gallifrey must be somewhere that's all it's all a clever ploy until Boomtown, where you just apparently sit on a paving stone. In Cardiff, and it regen and it just
which
powers up again.
Boomtown?
It's the one with Angela...
Margaret Blaine.
What's the name of the actress again? Badlands or something?
Annette Badland.
Yeah. Where they go back... He goes back to Cardiff. And there's one of the...
Controversial.
Sorry. There's no reason you should remember it. It's
Which
a
doctor
total,
is it?
Eh?
Chris Faxon.
Yeah. It's a total... It's filler, like a filler episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He goes for dinner with an restaurant that I've actually been in. Yeah. It's the Turkish place out in the bay. Yeah.
And she's a great actor.
She is good.
Badland. Yeah. You know, she's really good. And she was, and she's far, far better in that than the stupid Slovene ones.
Yeah. I quite like the Slovene ones, actually.
Yeah. Good idea. And then when they all start farting and drinking.
Yeah, that's a bit much. Mm. Although we were at Comic-Con and we saw the man who was the... The farting one, and he said hello to my son, which I thought was very nice. Remember? No, I didn't. No, my son did.
Now, this is the thing. Now, here's where it goes totally
fascinating. Now that
see that no,
see that one,
and then this is where it really deviates.
Yeah. Now you see the look of Eric Roberts' master there, that kind of badass cool look.
Mm.
You don't really get that quite like that anymore, do you?
No, you don't. No.
It looks like Falco in the Rock Me Amadeus.
It does, doesn't it?
Amadeus.
Amachuma.
That's the Family Guy.
Yeah. But you know why they did that?
Yeah, I know.
Why did they do that?
Because he died of a brain tumor. A couple of years after that happened.
Why are you?
What is the Eye of Harmony? Let me show you. Whoa!
Yeah, and we're seeing what he's seeing, which also makes no sense. Yeah.
Isn't that fucking what's her name from X-Files? No, it's not.
Yeah.
That coat's fucking honking.
She's very starred like Dennis Scully, isn't she?
She is, yeah.
What do we think of his costume, by the way?
Yeah, his costume's quite nice. It's a bit Tom.
He's quite chunky in the leg, isn't he? He's got a wee bit of a sort of footballer's leg about him.
The singular on Dimension.
I knew that would do that.
That was William Hartnell. Cool.
The
singular on time relative dimension in space.
Mm.
See,
of course, the insane thing about the styling of Dana Scully is that Gillian, what's her name, is a tiny wee woman.
Yeah,
very attractive, but because of the suits of the time,
she looks enormous
in them, and it's really awful. It's a lovely woman.
Big fucking baggy trousers.
Yeah, they're incredibly unflattering, and she's lovely.
I need an atomic.
I love the X-Files. Chris doesn't like the X-Files.
I'm just about that. There's a couple of episodes of the X-Files I think are tremendous.
I love the X-Files.
Tombs
is a great one, but my favourite one. See, the problem with the X-Files for me got to the point where, you know, all the stuff about like the smoking man and the conspiracy and all that.
Yeah.
Is that during the course of a series, there would just be bits of it here and there. And when it became. Nothing but that, you were like, well, I'm just getting a bit fed up.
The other problem, of course, was, I think we've actually said this before, was the her ability to remain sceptical.
Absolutely.
Like you've seen about 40 fucking UFOs by now.
As you said before, did you not see that werewolf flying that plane?
Exactly. Shit, we're quoting ourselves. We've got to remember what we've talked about before.
I remember it all. Now, the one episode, which I'm not alone in liking, because I think it won an Emmy, is the really genuinely fantastic episode with
Peter Boyle.
With Peter Boyle. Because that really genuinely was in the middle of a series that was nothing but the conspiracy.
Uh-huh.
And then suddenly there was a series and he was an insurance man who got so obsessed with making sure people got the right insurance that, like this tie-in, he could see people's future.
Yeah.
So he just sold them the insurance that they needed.
Wow. What was that episode called?
I can't
remember. It's got somebody's something repels or something.
Yes.
Yeah. It's got a really sort of quite poetic title. Yeah.
And the MacGuffin was Lemon Meringue Pie.
Oh, okay.
Because he could see, he saw Scully being shot or something, and there was a lemon meringue pie.
It's a beautiful effect.
It's all really good. Yeah, the fabric.
But that was a morphing. Is it really a beautiful effect?
It is for me.
And the timing was like,
how did they do that?
Doctor Who fans.
Well, because he's saying
God, that's in Doctor Who.
Because the Eye of Harmony is open.
Right.
The fabric of reality is beginning to. Break apart.
No, we don't want that happening, do you?
Now, the X-Files episode Tombs, I always have a soft spot for that because I came home to watch that after having been to a lecture by David Icke. So I associate the two things very closely.
Or just cunts.
Yeah. So that must be 1990.
Is there a goalkeeper in
1992, 1993? It was interesting though because about three or four people came to that lecture. so they could get out and walk out and discuss the various points.
Yeah. Right. I tell you what, though, David Icke is a twat, but he's made that shit last.
He certainly has, yeah.
He wouldn't be fun fucking... Years, he's man. Lasted longer than Grandstand.
Yeah, absolutely. Geller's not done it as well as that. Yeah.
Fucking Aaron's still there, though.
Aye, that's true, yeah.
You'd think when you actually said Aaron, the Isle of Aaron, is which is fucking massive, is going to tip up and fall into the sea, and then Didney, people would go,
yeah,
well, that's
not true, that's true, yeah. Yeah. Do you know what, I think we
on
need...
On Wogan, and everybody laughed, including Terry.
We need someone from the clergy to... Funny, yeah. To do a TV
and who
series
would do
talk
that?
About that?
Who could talk about that?
Hello, I'm Father Lionel Vandorf, and this is Fortune TV.
You love it. And if it had a special guest from the world of films.
Hello, Lionel. It's nice to see you again, mate.
To which he would say, hello, I'm Father Lionel Vandorf. Welcome to Fortune TV.
I think there would be a different host for that, though, and it could be either Keith Richards or Bob Mills.
Oh, it's not to say that.
No, it turns out it's Bob Mills.
That's just because I'm fat and I've got enormous amounts of hair.
The Beryllium clock.
The Beryllium clock. Oh, no.
That's a nice big wreath. That's the last
one. That's a plastic jacket.
It is. He must be sweating like a bastard.
So we're coming to the part of the TV movie that's the least Doctor Who-ish.
Yes. Isn't this the rest of the film, though?
But it's a bit of a caper.
But they're far into it, though.
Yeah, we're fairly into it. But it becomes just a bit of a caper. Yeah. Except there is one supporting character who is actually quite fun, who's the guy who's the director of
Pompous, isn't he?
Who's actually really funny.
Yeah.
Because I like the bit where he knows the clock's fucked.
Yes.
But he has to count down anyway. He's like, hey! And you'll see all that in a minute.
Yeah. That's all coming up.
So why do they
still to come?
Because they think he's just coming with the ambulance to pick him up in a black plastic leather jacket.
Yeah, we sucked through it.
Oh. This is quite a nice little scene, though. And Eric Roberts.
Well, she
Eric
knows
Roberts
him.
Very good in this
because you see, she knows him because he's an ambulance, right. So she thinks everything's cushy.
Yeah,
and it's fine that the ambulance turned up with a wee Oriental kid. And
she's a rotten actress, though.
Do you think?
No, yeah. This is something really? That I want to ask.
Who is she?
Daphne Ashbrook.
And.
That's her name.
Well, what else have I seen her in?
Not a lot. She hasn't done a great deal.
But I particularly want to ask this. What do we think of the companions in this?
I mean, I think she's okay.
Is she a companion?
No. And Craig, and not the proper fan, hits on
any.
The real point here.
No, she's,
she's not a companion.
No.
Nah,
I'd say she's
a companion. She's just a...
character. Sure.
Yeah, it's like, for example, the excellent... And I really struggle to say this. David Tennant, two-parter. Mm-hmm. Satan Pit and Impossible Planet. Mm-hmm. Has an excellent sidekick in Ida.
Yes.
Yeah. But she's not a companion.
No, she isn't a companion.
And she's not a companion.
Well, but she's billed as the companion.
Yeah, but she's not. She's
I
companion.
Think
that's
I'm,
the point.
I think I'm 2-0 up on the proper Doctor Who
I think you're right.
Tonight, yeah.
Philosophical.
I don't think she is a companion because there's... you know, the you never feel at any point that she's doing anything than just pushing this plot along. You know, she's very little interaction.
But she's billed as a companion.
Yeah, I don't care if she's billed as a
companion.
Yeah,
you're losing it now.
No,
it
but
doesn't
that's,
matter.
If I knew anything about football at this stage, I'd build a brilliant football metaphor of being 2-0 up. Going into the last set.
Like Jenny Baby.
Going into the fourth down.
The fourth rubber.
As we move into the last rubber, Craig's got
he's
all his white
well.
Pieces over the other side.
I'm not sure. I think that I'm going to shoot me bit works.
Yeah, what's up?
I don't think that quite works. They try and do something that's very doctorish.
Or the jelly baby bit.
When he holds the gun against himself.
Yeah. Because somebody else would just shoot him.
Yeah. And then we get into this. And so, yeah, the bit on the motorcycle is probably where it...
Yeah, it starts to diverge
it's
into
not
a
very
sort of... just a kind of American... You can imagine the Suits Network saying, we need more action in this.
His helmet is very redolent of Eric Estrada's. That's not a line you get to see every day.
So, Chris, what's your memories of watching this?
Well, I at the time was running a cafe, so I was working quite a long day on the bank holiday, and consequently taped it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably didn't watch it. I might have watched it late on the night when it was certainly when I'd gone out, so watched it on broadcast.
And I kind of liked it. I didn't hate it. I didn't think it was amazing. Mm. But as I said earlier, I could not envisage it becoming anything other than a one-off TV movie. And I kind of thought, it didn't. I just kind of dismissed it, and it didn't feel like it, there was any sort of return on
it's
the horizon.
It's such an epic action film.
Yeah, totally. It was almost like, here's just something we've got in the archive. Wouldn't it be fun if we just made another one of these?
Yeah.
Almost like, and then we can just all forget about it.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. Craig?
Same as it were 20 minutes ago. I watched it with my flatmates.
No, what did you
Mark,
think?
Ian and Stuart at my flat in Edinburgh.
You sort of liked it the most.
I thought it was all right, yeah. I mean, I've never seen it since. Never particularly felt
well, that
the
tells
it.
You something.
Yeah.
You?
Although I, unlike Chris, quite liked the way they turned around the opening music.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I don't like
the beginning.
Yeah,
it's a bit weird that, I think.
And I don't like the
I don't like the logo turning around.
No, that doesn't make any sense. And I don't like the actual. I don't like the tape face sound.
The logo.
It's kind of perky.
It is a
tape face.
Yeah, but I don't like it.
Which is a strange choice. And do you remember that when
he died just before it came out?
That's right. They put an obit credit.
Yeah, but at the end of it, there's an obit credit.
Ah, yeah. But it was literally about a week before or something, wasn't it?
Much,
yeah. Before the end of his run on Countdown.
Nah.
Was it?
Yeah, he was meant to be. He was in Dexter's Corner. Not when he died. He was in somebody's arse. He was up somebody's arse, probably.
He was.
No.
Was he bumped off by Charles Brandreth?
No, he was.
Squadlock.
He was in the. he was in Dictionary Corner, and he was meant to be there for the grand final.
Was he wearing like massive? He always just wore massive specs.
Massive glasses.
And they said, "What word have you come up with, John?" Dither fat. What?
There wasn't, did you never said that?
There wasn't,
it wasn't
like
a
five
G&H.
Fairs up there.
I get in the living. Dither fat.
Would he change his head into a dictionary head?
And then there was a big thing because you know he died before they got to the grand final, and the. Richard Whiteley to do this big long sort of tribute. Oh, it's terrible, but then you know, let's go on with the game.
Yeah, but
and you can buy you and you can so that you can win one of these dictionaries that's in like 100 volumes.
That's
do you remember John Pertwee? Do you remember Virtual Murder? Remember
I do indeed remember
Virtual Sprain, and that was one of Pertwee's last performances.
Christ, was he in that?
Yeah, he was. He was very good in it. He played like a mad Spanish guy, and he was actually he was very good in it.
Oh, that's right.
That's a very nice tracking shot.
Oh, my God, I'd completely forgotten.
Comes around the front of them, isn't it?
Is he not quite, hard to believe, but quite sleazy?
Yeah, he's a bit of a perv.
That's so out of character.
Silverado or something like that? Or?
Silverado, that's a
film
with John
Cleese.
No, I think that Matt, he had a weird sort of, he had a name kind of like that.
Syphilis.
Virtual Murder, yeah. Virtual Murder was a weird series, wasn't it?
It was a weird series.
Syphilado!
KY.
You did quite a good
KY Fippolado.
You did quite a good there, was
Do
Craig.
I?
Yeah.
You've done it before, but I think it was by accident.
That is nothing, Anthony.
It was good.
I liked Russell Gummidge, but
it's great.
I did see it years
Gummidge.
Later.
Gummidge was fantastic.
And it was really fucking mental.
Yeah,
wasn't
it
really mental. Yeah. My mum and dad loved it too.
I watched an episode recently. And Una Stubbs is great in it. Mm. But both of them, Wurzel and Aunt Sally, are totally unspeakable.
Yeah, absolutely. Incredibly selfish.
There's no reason why the kids
are like
the
children, really, aren't they?
But yeah, absolutely. But the thing that's great is that they're really fucking terrified of the Crowman.
Yeah.
Which is perfectly understandable.
Absolutely,
That's fucking hauntology.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Beardon, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hauntology.
Yeah.
Somebody should make a program
about
that. That's a great idea.
You know who'd be good doing that? But somebody like Charlie Brooker. Or possibly Lenny Henry.
DJ Cooper.
I think probably somebody a bit more clerical.
A bit more what?
Clerical.
Someone from a clerical background who knows a lot about strange phenomena.
Yeah. Mm.
Right. See. Hello. Can we call it Fortune TV?
That took a lot of fucking work.
It did, didn't it?
Jesus Christ.
I don't know. He's very good.
Do you think he's... I don't know who he is, but do you think he's...
Almost certainly.
San Francisco.
Look at that.
Older gentleman.
Brilliant clock there. Yeah, look, Sonic screwdriver.
You like that? Everyone should always say it like that. Whenever you offer it, you should always go, champagne.
Yeah. No, I'd say this is getting back on track as being a Doctor Who. You're right over there,
is that
Chris?
One of those multi-stacking DVD players?
Oh, I think there's a little duct tape there. Yeah. Look.
Jesus Christ. So that's the clock, is it? The rest of it's just wraparound.
It is, yeah.
Oh, this guy, yeah. This bit, yeah. This is what you were talking about earlier on, where he talks about his future.
Yes.
That's not good.
It doesn't work. No, because it doesn't make any sense.
Do you know the other thing as well is that if they were going to go to a series, that conceit would get tiresome.
Yeah, it would get very tiresome. Yeah. The other thing is that there would be irresistible to actually make it a device to push stories along, and it becomes really annoying. Yeah. Now, the only other thing is, when I say it doesn't make any sense, obviously none of it makes any sense, because it's a silly sci-fi thing.
Yeah.
But as I... tiresomely.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
Things have to make sense to themselves.
Internal logic.
Yes,
Craig.
And that
absolutely. The film Waterworld falls apart, and people say, oh, but it's all a silly idea. No, but it has to make sense in the world you create.
Although I don't hate Waterworld.
I've never seen it the once.
I mean, Waterworld is just one of those films.
Except it has Dennis Hopper in it. I can't fucking stand
Dennis Hopper's a cunt. But it's one of those films that I can't hate.
Yeah,
I've watched it a few times, you know. And
oh, look what he's done to them.
San Francisco.
We've been talking to him for about 10 minutes.
And it's something I'd fit.
Look at that coat she's wearing. No one could look good in that.
Oh, dear.
Champagne.
Champagne.
Here we go.
You don't actually. This is a thing you see in a lot of American films: is axes in fire.
There are axes everywhere in America.
Well, there are in American films, but I've never seen one in Britain.
No,
Britain.
That's because in America everybody has a gun as well. True. So it doesn't seem that bad having an axe.
Yeah, I'm going to look for one.
People here don't have guns. They would just go for the axe.
I'm going to be in America in a few months. I'm going to have a look.
That's not very exciting.
Jim Kerr.
No.
Don't you
forget about me. Who?
Exactly.
The fuck are you?
I fucking love to get an old.
Oh, this is meant to be a look. Here we go again.
on my part.
That's not very nice.
So now they've got to get to the TARDIS.
He's got a nice little twinkle though, isn't he?
Oh, he's very good, I think. Yeah, but he's very good in this. He's fucking hot as fire in Night of a Time War. Night of the Doctor, sorry.
Is he?
Oh.
Oh, hang on. Ah, there we go. We're right. A little freeze friend there, yeah. He also speaks
very highly of you.
He's a big Chris fan.
And there's never been.
He's a big Chris fan. But he speaks really nicely about Doctor Who as well.
Yeah.
He's really thought about the programme.
Now come to think of it, his best performance is in The Five-ish Doctors.
He's brilliant, where
he keeps annoying Colin Baker.
Yes.
And Sylvester McCoy by constantly talking about all the things that he's doing.
Yeah.
Oh no, I can't really do it just now. I've got that television there.
Did you enjoy The Five-ish Doctors?
Oh, very much.
Wasn't it? Why wouldn't
you enjoy
it?
It was actually
on a par with Day of the Doctor.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
I think also because there was no expectation that it was going to be anything decent, and it was fantastic.
And you even were happy when Barrowman turned up, because by that time it was just funny that everyone was turning up.
Yeah. And RTD was very funny in it as well, I thought.
But Darren Bond, you paid. Wake up.
And it's nice that it was done by Peter Davis.
Peter Darry Davis.
He was also very good in remember the Doctor Who night thing when he was being kidnapped by David Williams
and Maggie.
That was funny.
Is it all right for me to kiss Peter Davis?
It ends with the light going off, doesn't it? And him just sitting there looking terrified.
Brilliant. No, it was great, The Five-ish Doctors. And Colin was great in it.
Yeah.
We love Colin Baker.
Yeah, we love Colin Baker.
Colin, you are welcome to come and do a commentary.
And he will.
He's a great guy.
And I love there's a lovely shot at the end of the coach when they're going away. And he's got the bottle of champagne and Sylvester's just sitting cuddling under him while asleep.
Why was blue light?
I would happily cuddle in and sleep onto
Colin Baker. There's plenty of room there.
Why was blue light of that kind so popular in the 90s in American dramas? Because like, I seem to remember that X-Files had lots of blue light.
I think it was just shorthand for otherworldly.
It was the time we were in.
This is nice, though.
It was the decade of the blue light.
The decade of the time.
There's the universe the blowing up.
Yeah. It was the zeitgeist of the age.
It's the quintessential zeitgeist of the age. The blue light. The piece of shit. The high as a kite.
Thank you.
What's happening? We have to go back to before the eye was opened.
Yeah. Yep. Again, this is a bit contentious.
Yeah.
Why is it contentious? Because
basically, what they're saying is all you need to do to resolve...
No, I want
to resolve
this final line.
But I can't, because all I can do is...
That's all you can see.
All I can say is... Fine.
Go on, try it now for Frank.
Go on. I can't do it. It's just not going to happen.
Try it for Frank.
Yeah, the listener. What it... I'll give you anything as Michael Caine.
You're like Danny John Jules. You're a versatile performer.
Thank you.
You can be in Labyrinth. But
anyway, to answer your question, is it what they're saying is if something happens,
you.
Something happens, bless you, Chris. If something happens, you just go back in time and then do it again.
Nah, that's
and
not
make
good.
It not happen.
No.
Oh, this is her turn, and that's right.
What's she doing?
Butter.
That's a pretty harsh one, isn't it?
She's called Grace, isn't she?
Yeah. Disgrace, I would say at this point.
I read in the newspaper,
yeah.
Yes.
Do you agree with that? Disgrace? Yeah. You see? Yeah.
I read in the newspaper, speaking about disgrace, I read in the newspaper yesterday that Chloe Grace Moretz is going out with Romeo Beckham.
Wow.
That's kind of upsetting, isn't
What's
it?
What's Coxsaint Moretz doing these days?
I figure King Camilla Carnell.
I love that guy.
You don't get that on there, don't
no,
you?
You don't get that on anywhere else, by the way.
Fucking great program.
Oh, I love Coxsaint
Moretz. It is now chock full, though, of sexy schoolgirl jokes, which is slightly disturbing.
It was a different world.
A different world.
But it's got that great Christmas episode where where John fronts up Coxsaint Moretz and makes him admit that he's just a wee guy who lives with his mum.
Yeah, he does.
And then
they're
in the pub. Yeah. And Ralph and John and all them start getting getting noised up by bikers, and he goes to the toilet and comes out his cup
and he claims he was under
he was a spy
yeah, and there's the one
about Dunhill fags and everything.
There's the one about the woman who has terrible flatulence at the party.
I missed that.
Oh, that's of course. And there's the bit when everyone's claiming that they've broken, when John and the wee guy do it to be nice, you know what I mean. And Belinda Lang says that it's because they're covering up for her. And he Kirk says, "All right, get it." Then you hear her. And he goes, "That's all right, love, you have that one."
Who wrote it, John?
John Sullivan.
John Sullivan.
Yeah.
I've just stupidly said he smoked Dunhill fags when he clearly smoked Saint Moritz.
Saint Moritz.
You just forget they existed.
So how long is this?
It's about 90 minutes.
We're not far off the end now, are we?
No, it's been battered through it.
No, I mean, it's really pacey. Yeah, it definitely doesn't hang around any of it.
Mm.
She's better now, she's like that.
Yeah.
I like her more now.
Yeah.
So this is where it all gets a bit moving. Sort of...
whoa, it's going to JFK! Fuck! A gold-painted...
gold-painted Tommy Lee Jones
getting his nipples...
There's that annoying guy again.
Yeah.
Is he partying on?
No, he says that's not funny and he gets really angry.
No, isn't funny.
Meanwhile, that guy's great.
Yeah, he is. Oh, yeah, he's brilliant.
Is that Alan Yentl?
I hope not.
So there's kind of Christ overtones again, don't you think? Here?
Yeah, but it's for America. In 700 years, no one has opened the eye.
So there's all this talk about you need a human eye.
You need a human eye to open it. The thing is, it just seems like a really lazy device.
This is also a bit like the Lazarus effect, this bit.
Oh, yeah, it is, yeah.
Even the design of the thing looks like it, yeah.
Well spotted.
That's 3-0 to the non-fan.
That's 3-0. You've fallen at the final.
That's the sign of him getting slapped, folks.
That's another goal, and you're just heading into the final furlong.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now it's a conversion, so it's 5-0. Counts as 5-0 down.
It's a home penalty.
No, yep, that's it, man.
No gang.
It's getting a bit kinky now, isn't it? Look at that. You two won't like that. Mm. Last chances.
What do we think of the Masters Gallifrey get-up?
It's all right, isn't it?
It's,
I like
it's
it.
All right, but it's not quite canon.
No, it's quite canon.
Headpiece isn't right.
No, that's true.
It'd be great if at this point you heard the, that familiar sound of...
This is the game of Rassilon!
Is that Bob Mills?
This is the game of Rassilon.
No, it was Keith Richards.
King Cam Minicano and Pitching Chili Billy Baba.
It's like someone took a big chunk at the middle of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the problem here also is the denouement is not doing away with the master. It's no. bringing Grace back to life. That's spoilers.
Thing about next. She's killed him.
Now that also is a diversion tough. From canon because you can't kill people in the TARDIS. Mm. You're in a state of temporal grace.
Oh. Yeah, tell that to Eric Sayward when he was writing that shot.
Hey, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I was about to say that, but you got it before me. Eric Roberts, right? Mm-hmm. His career has gone from when Julia Roberts turned up on the scene, it was, oh, she's Eric Roberts' sister, to Eric Roberts is Julia Roberts' brother, to... Who is this Eric Roberts guy anyway?
But now
Julia Roberts has got a brother. Yeah.
But now it's turned into, oh look, that's that guy Eric Roberts.
Aye.
Which is where you want to be.
Absolutely.
Look, it's Eric Roberts. Remember him?
Oh look, he's in the Batman film.
Yeah.
I'm behind this.
He's got the good scene in the Batman film when he gets thrown off the building.
He's great.
No people.
Okay. With him transferring all his lives. Not sure how.
I'm just hoping that I can get one more over Jack before the end of it, and that's the 147 break.
And that's an away win.
Yes, exactly.
You get twice the points.
Good points for that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I do have a reference, I think, there too.
So, console room or control room? Which one are you in?
Beg your pardon?
Console room or control room?
I don't know what you're asking me.
What do you
what would you refer to it as? Do you refer to it as the console room or the control room? I call it the console room.
Do you know what I do as well?
Yeah.
I call it the console room.
It's more accurate, it's called the control room.
Well, that's the X-Files again.
Mm. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of X-Files touching this, isn't there? Doctor Who for the X-Files generation.
Oh, no, that's the line, isn't it? That's the line of the night, line up.
That's a very, very good description of...
it's like a Meatloaf video now.
You know what? 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Do you know that?
Oh, yes!
Does he
get that?
No, he
doesn't.
I didn't hear that because I was thinking of my.
I said it looks like a Meatloaf video now, and he said, yeah, and 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
That's good.
Hey, see that? Thanks very much, Jack. Now, what was the point you were going to make that you've been labouring over?
Instead of commissioning a series of this, they went for a series of sliders instead.
Wow. Sliders was gash. Wow.
What was Sliders?
It was...
apart from in Edinburgh, Slider was 2 wafers.
A wafer.
Ice cream.
Yeah, exactly. You still got people over here call it Sliders.
Yeah,
it's sometimes.
It's like a tang
I'm
wafer.
I'm not telling you what a chocolate
was
one was called.
Was it a sort of parallel universe thing? Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was like John Rhys Davies and some youngsters. And it would be, they would move and slide into parallel universes.
Wasn't it Into the Labyrinth, put it that way?
That's a fact.
Love that. That fat guy's really annoying me, and that's because of fat man. Oh.
Yeah, but the thing that's really annoying about it is that I think you're supposed to think he's funny because he's fat.
Yeah.
Who starts their countdown for 10? I mean, really?
Nobody.
That's unprofessional.
I like this guy, though. He's good.
The TARDIS looks really good, doesn't it? Exterior and interior. Fat guy.
I like the fact that they haven't redesigned the outside of the TARDIS.
Yeah.
He looks like Tom there. Quite a lot like Tom.
Yeah.
Well, basically just because his eyes are wide open. His hair's everywhere and he's screaming. Now, here's another thing about
Congress.
It's another thing about devices like this in films, which is
That's quite nice.
If there's been a
Mark
process,
would be 8 minutes too. That's a joke at Animal House, isn't it? When they're all looking at their watches and this one's broken.
Is that if there's been a process that's lasted quite a long while, but you're supposed to reverse it right at the last second, what happens to all the shit that happened during all that point? Mm-hmm. It's not like a 90%, 99% download. Mm-hmm. 99% of it's still there.
Mm. That's a fair point, Greg. Well, how do you explain that?
Well, there's a process, like they're changing, they're moving his lives over to him.
Yeah.
Right? But it's all being done and completed except for the last second.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly, because the last second hasn't been completed, it's all just going back to normal.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it rebooted.
Mm. There we are, look.
The vortex isn't ideal.
It's not good, is it? The vortex. Yeah, it moves it's a bit nimby pimby, isn't it?
And it's got gaps.
Yeah.
I don't want gaps in my vortex.
It's the wrong colour as well.
Yeah, I don't want gaps in vortex. And I don't feel like he'd call him master in that way either.
Yeah.
His dying master. He wouldn't say that.
That shaky kind.
One of the things I most like about the modern Star Trek films is the way they have the warp effect in it.
Yeah.
It's like it holds them in. Remember when it attacks it and it knocks it out of it? I love that. It's really good,
Yeah, and Doctor Who has always done the vortex really well whenever they've shown it.
Yeah.
I think they thought they would have been a wee bit too clever in this one.
But, oh, no!
But of all the things...
He fucks it up good and proper there, mind you, didn't he?
She's dead.
Of all the things that they should have kept over as a reference, that's one of them. It's the vortex.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of...
It's kind of key, isn't it?
Yeah. Because you don't want it to look like it's just travelling in space.
No.
Because that's not the point. Oh, no, you fuck's sake.
He's a bit of a bam stick, isn't he?
Mm. Yeah, he's not a happy man. He's got issues.
Master Raj.
We never spoke about the really shit Dalek voices at the beginning as well.
He's kicking them with his shoes as well. Sorry?
The really shit Dalek voices at the very beginning of the episode. When
that's right, yeah.
Just to speed it up.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Right, so they didn't have to give Roy
Scale. Wasted on the livings!
They didn't have to give Roy Scale off credit.
Does he do it in an English accent?
What?
The master?
No, it's just basically just Derek Bromley. See, this is a bit of a crap.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I've turned the light on you.
Let me do that now.
Roar. Down he goes.
Doesn't really explain why that happens.
No.
Do we? It's this. The effect.
There's a
nice,
bad wig effect there. Look at that.
Cross out the blue light again.
Give me your hand.
Never. That's not great, is it?
No.
That's a shake key call, that.
That exposure's not good either.
Wiggy.
Yeah, so you're
shout out to Wiggy. Dead.
And then we get this weird... we get this weird effect. Sort of slightly whimsical.
They nicked that from Alien 3.
Yeah. I don't like the idea that suddenly people are able to come back to life
that's definitely a problem.
Because if you're inside the TARDIS,
in that state,
if you're inside the TARDIS,
Craig pointed out,
and you move backwards and forwards in time, then if you're affected by the move backwards and forwards in time, you'd be dead within seconds because you'd either get very old or very young too quickly.
Yeah.
So if you can be brought back to life just by moving in time within the TARDIS, it defeats its own purpose
and also ruins Jeopardy. We can't be having Craig.
Mad for the Jeopardy.
No, we can't be having
that. Can't be having that.
Can't fuck with Jeopardy.
Got to maintain the Jeopardy. The big J.
That's right.
The J bird.
He says here that it's like the TARDIS brings him back to life because he says, that sentimental thing or something. It's just a weird thing to happen.
But they've kind of anthropomorphised the TARDIS quite a lot in recent years, haven't they?
Well, there's nothing new about that particularly, overtly in The Doctor's Wife.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid.
No, I love The Doctor's Wife.
Despite it starring Big Saran, who, as you know, I love.
But I love The Doctor's Wife. It's a great episode.
Yeah.
Well, I know it really.
Like,
I know
gaming.
I know. Well, not a day, really. But I mean, I think I know it really divides opinion. But I think it's really, really nice. I think it's brilliantly acted.
Didn't know what was going on. Didn't know what was going on. It was messing with my mind, man.
Well, that's just your feeling.
Matt Smith. You know, that's, I like the very nice thing to say.
Matt Smith.
I love the. He's great, and I love the whole thing with the. You know, the. You see other TARDISes, and some of them are fucking enormous.
Well, that was good, yeah. But we all liked Matt Smith, didn't we?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Matt Smith's a great doctor.
Great doctor.
Very badly served. Yeah, but especially in his last series, like really crap stories. A lot of them.
His last series wasn't brilliant.
Up until his first series. Up until Name of the Doctor, it started to go really badly long before that.
I did like the thing about Karen Gillan's bairn being missing and all that.
Yeah.
But I love Karen Gillan. Yeah, but it actually being stolen from her in the first place is such a traumatic, horrible thing. That you just sort of think.
That she doesn't see that.
Well, if somebody was.
No, she doesn't, no.
If somebody was going to do that.
Be Frances Barber. Who is a fucking unspeakable person, isn't she?
She's crazy!
Crazy like a fox. Dreadful person.
Here we go.
She's not. You're not invited
to
any. Any of these.
Any of these hangs that we do.
She used to go out with Danny Boyle.
Danny Baker.
And I don't like Danny Boyle either. You're not invited either,
no,
Boyle.
You know, basically, it's Colin Baker or nothing.
That's it. Or Tom.
Or, no, I'm not sure I could put up with that, to be honest.
Mark.
Oh,
we'll get wee Mark back sometime.
Yeah, get wee Mark back.
Hiya, wee Mark.
He's just got married, isn't he?
Yes, happy marriage.
Happy wedding. Yeah. That's nice, though. They put the Gallifrey thing's nice. And I like it when he says, oh, it's 10 minutes in this old thing or whatever it is, he said.
Nice smiles and all that.
He's got the concert was lovely.
Yeah.
I love the rotor. He plays the console very well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're the lead that actually made that happen there.
There you
actually
go.
Made that happen.
I like that. It's lovely.
Yeah, he does. He is very good, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's very good. Yeah, he's lovely. Nice, it's lovely action. The way. Yeah. It's not easy to do that because not all of them have managed to pull that off.
That's nice as well.
I also like
he's
the fact.
He's very handsome.
I also like the fact that the console looks like it's an actual working console. I didn't like it, funnily enough, during the 10 years when it started to get really silly.
Yeah.
With lots of things you had to sort of pump at.
Yeah.
And they were a bit stuck onto it and all that. No, it can actually reconfigure itself if you're missing a bit. Hey!
Yeah,
hey!
Good face.
And it turned out nobody gave a fuck.
Remember
where were you on Hogmanay 1999?
I was working.
Were you? Where were you working?
I was working at a teleconferencing company. And we charged lots of people a fortune because of the Millennium Bug. They all thought all their
systems were going to go down.
So therefore they wanted to do conference calls, including the BBC.
Really?
Video conferences, which consisted of empty rooms.
I don't think our hospital did.
It consisted of lots of empty rooms with people coming in every now and then, drunk, going... down the camera to other people.
Great. Did you get like fucking quadruple time or something for it?
Yeah. And then, just about finished. Then I came back. My sister was staying with me, and so I had to give up my bed so she could sleep in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sleeping on an inflated mattress on the floor. She came in drunk, and then tried dog shit all over that mattress. So happy New Year. Sorry, Craig.
I was with his sister. I was working at the hospital.
Yeah?
Yeah, in the department of the hospital that deals with news.
That's how it's
going to happen. Oh, right. No, you mean where they update the records?
That's the one.
On the hour.
Exactly. And
you switched to Millennium Bug stories.
Yeah. And I was there with a very
good
friend. Is
there extra staff standing by?
I was there with Matron Brune.
Really?
And many others. There was many staff on. All the high hegians were there.
Really?
And I got
in case of the
I got double the money and a £500 payment for working overnight on the Millennium.
Those were the days.
Which I desperately needed because
the first
I was about to get divorced.
You needed money to sustain you while you watched JFK in a loop.
Exactly, yeah. I think actually at that stage it was the right stuff that I was watching on a loop.
Is that the channel?
No, the film, not the channel 5.
I do remember going home and watching an Emmanuel film that was on telly.
Oh,
and then
carry on,
bed.
Emmanuel.
No, it wasn't.
Were
and then going to
and
bed.
And then going to bed about 5 minutes after
and
you started
then getting
watching
woken
it
up at 5 a.m. by another one of our doctor friends who wanted to come round to the house.
Oh, right.
Yeah, exactly.
So you weren't watching the right stuff where they outed John and Leslie then?
No.
No.
So was that, and were they all there because of the Millennium Bug?
Yeah.
Thinking it was
all going to kick off.
What a fucking letdown. Do you know where I was during all this?
You? Go and tell me.
I was on the pier at Millport.
Yay! Did you get an extra payment?
I was in 2000.
Did the pier fall apart?
No, I was...
Frankly.
Well, it was the new year, so I was out of work, having done my stint at the Frasers.
Yeah.
And I was down there with the folks, and down in Millport, they put on this big thing, thinking it was going to be a big deal. And just like everywhere else, nowhere gave a fuck. Any more than any other.
No.
Hogmanay. And because people put on so much stuff for it, it was actually a real letdown.
Good.
So here we go.
Here's the ending.
Final scene.
It appears to have many sonic screwdrivers there.
Does,
like a whole sonic screwdriver kit maybe we got this Christmas. Which would have been a week before.
Where to next old
My
girl?
Dad always got things like that for Christmas. Set of screwdrivers.
Sonic socket set.
Bought at Ingolstadt Market.
Back where,
that wig did not benefit from that top light there, did it?
But this is quite a nice little way to where the record sticks again. Oh, fuck me, not again.
Oh no, not again. After all, that's how it all started.
Yeah.
There we are.
So it was good fun.
Yeah, it was
what
actually.
What do we think?
I think the half of the film that is Terminator 2.5.
Yeah.
Is pretty pants.
Yes.
I'm not sure about many of the supporting actors.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But as I remember at the time, I really, really liked Paul McGann.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I'd forgotten just how lovely it looks. And particularly the, as you say, I think actually all of the new Doctor Who for the last 10 years owes a lot to it in terms of the design.
Absolutely. The design of the TARDIS especially, I think. Yeah. Cool. And all of the stuff.
For me, that's it finished, look.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, bear in mind, they'd be fucking rattling through Sfatelli, so they'd be battering through it.
And the other thing is, it wasn't embarrassing.
Dun, dun, was, dun, dun.
Oh, it doesn't have the dedicated to John tweet, which it did have on broadcast. Because I've still got this...
Maybe having rewinded it, he didn't die.
I've still got this on tape.
Have you?
In the cupboard. Well,
from the original
on VHS, from when it went out. Yeah.
That's impressive.
That was good fun.
It was good. And like I say, I think at the time, it wasn't embarrassing. And as a Doctor Who fan, through that whole...
absolutely.
Stress McCoy period, you could almost admit to being a Doctor Who fan.
It could have been been another fucking Battlefield or something, or Silver Nemesis. Yeah.
But speaking of embarrassing, you do concede that I defeated you 3 sets to love tonight.
Three sets to love?
Yeah.
3 sets to love.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of your facts, Jack, everything special about you came out of that book.
Yeah, that's true, actually,
That book's been sitting
there for
ages.
That's quite pure. Whereas I was giving it zing zang
zip zap somebody drink
that bowl. And Chris was the rock upon which I stood while lobbing spunk.
Not for the first time.
Well, you go get yourself cleaned up, Jack.
Yeah,
that's enough of that. Bye.
See ya.
See you next time.